That one falls, the Golden Girls falls under, the one that I famously remember is Johnny Dangerously.
Yes.
I watched that movie, I don't know how many times as a child. A lot. I will say that. A lot. And it, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I went back and watched it as an adult. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. I had no idea it was this dirty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Golden Girls is like Johnny Dangerously. All I really remember is the elephantitis of the balls thing. I don't remember much of anything. That was what, Joe Piscopo and Michael Keaton?
Keaton was the main character.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of who, because the female lead was. But yeah, Joe Piscopo was Michael Keaton's enemy.
That's right. Yeah. I'm trying to remember that movie. I think, like, as a kid, you know, I'm watching it. You know, like, it's just funny the way they're talking, right?
Oh, yeah.
But then I just didn't get the jokes. Like I said, the elephantitis thing, I think that's when my mom made me shut it off. Like, all right, that's enough. So, and I distinctly remember as a kid watching Breakfast Club with her. I was she turned it off because I was laughing at something I shouldn't have been laughing at. The thing is, I had no idea what I was laughing at. I was like, I think this is supposed to be funny, so I'm laughing. I have no clue what it possibly could have been, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, so Golden Girls was definitely in that category where it's just like, oh my gosh, like I do watch, what is it? Oh, I think Hallmark Channel has rights to that stuff.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And it is pretty wild what they were doing back in those days.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Blanche, like, thought she killed a guy by fucking him?
Yeah.
And then is that the one where he wakes up, like, he's in there, and it turns out he was married or something like that? Like the dirty old man still banging out, like, extra broads?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just so funny. No idea. Like, just all the innuendo. And I mean, we also didn't understand what was Betty White was on, what, Mary Tyler Moore?
I believe so.
And she was, like, the real bitch on that show. So then to turn around and have her be, like, the dumb sweet one on Golden Girls, I guess was such a shock to everybody. And we're just watching it like, oh, it's a dumb lady from Golden Girls.
Yeah. There was a lot of stuff going on there that unawares watching it the first time around. I mean, it's almost hilarious that the parents were like, yeah, this is fine.
Like, I'm guessing that was like their judgment. Like, they have no idea what they're saying. So it's just a way to, like, let them watch TV so we can enjoy TV.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Because I know we had one TV. So it was whatever my mom wanted to watch. So.
Oh, yeah. Because what the... Oh, yeah, because Simon and Simon was one of the first ones that I remember being allowed to stay up after hours to watch and enjoy.
Mine was only Fridays. So, because Dukes of Hazzard, I will never forget this, Dukes of Hazzard was on at 8 o'clock, followed by Dynasty, and then Falcon Crest was on at 10. And on Fridays, I could stay up and watch Falcon Crest, which back then, again, no idea what's going on. Like, what is this show? I don't care. So I was probably just playing with toys or something while she was watching it, thinking, like, I'm being a big boy and being allowed to stay up late and watch. Like, no clue. Nothing. That was Friday night TV. That's what back, like, it's so weird how that changed. Because Friday night and Saturday night TV used to be major.
Oh,
Yeah. It's the exact opposite now. Like, if you're on Friday nights, you might as well give up.
Yep.
Like, especially Saturdays. I mean, I can't tell you an actual TV show that's on Saturday, unless it's sports.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't watched anything serious on a Saturday night, like a TV show, in quite some time.
No, I mean, not a single thing. So, because, I mean, especially in the fall, networks are dominated with sports anyways, in the evening. So, so Saturday, I guess, with football. But, like, during... Like, Sundays, you know, only NBC, whatever. So, which, by the way, did you see the schedules come out?
I didn't really pay attention. I saw that they came out, but I haven't really...
It cracks me up because, you know, they made a big to-do. Like, all the schedules getting released at 8 o'clock tonight, right? And then at, like, 9 o'clock in the morning, oh, the Lions are going to play the Chiefs in the first game of the year. I'm like, did I go through a time warp? Like... Breaking news, like, oh, okay. But yeah, so I was looking at the schedule as it came out, and I'm like, all right, let's see here. Lions are on 5 times on network TV. Possibly 6. No, I'm sorry, possibly 9 times. And I'm like, I paid for the goddamn Sunday ticket, and half of the games are going to be free. Like, oh, come on. Possibly half the games are going to be free, I should say. Like, it just figures. Which means they're going to be bad. So I can just bitch even more about how I could have just not bought the Game Pass or our Sunday ticket and seen the games that they're going to lose for free. So, I hope that's not what happens, but... The NFL is on the Lions bandwagon right now. They had no primetime games until the end of the year last year, and that was flexed. That was supposed to be a 1 o'clock game.
Oh.
And that was that last game at Green Bay where they sent Aaron Rodgers back, sent Aaron Rodgers to New York. Overrated ass. Where he's going to fail with the Jets, too.
So, oh, that is going to be enjoyable.
And he also went to a weak division. Did you notice that? The Patriots, they're no good. Miami, they may be good. Buffalo, okay. And then, who's the other one? The Jets. What, Jets? There's someone else, isn't there?
It's not. Buffalo's good.
Yeah, no. I gave Buffalo up, yeah.
Yeah, but the Patriots, I don't know. Miami's kind of weird.
Yeah, exactly.
Where they're kind of okay now, but they're still not great.
They're 1-2 a hit away from being garbage. So, I really think that. Like, when he got hurt, they weren't all that good. But.
Yeah, I'm not sure how their draft went this year either. I pay attention to one team. That's two teams. Just since the wife's a Bengals fan, so I pay attention to the Bengals draft too.
Yeah, I tried to pay attention to the Panthers, and I just went, I don't care. Like Bryce Young, cool, and a bunch of other people. Like, okay, so damn, I got the turn Carolina and New Jersey on. I figured Carolina would be up big, but desperation.
Yep. New Jersey does not want to get kicked out. They are good at elimination games so far this year.
Unlike Toronto. Oh, no, they won. Never mind.
Yeah, they did win yesterday.
Yeah, I saw the wrong score, and I was like, good, they got swept. Like, damn it. Still fighting.
But... I just half wanted Toronto to win just to annoy people.
Well, Edmonton's still in it, so at least there's still one Canadian team, right?
Connor McDavid pulled some ridiculous move where he, like, He's coming full speed down the ice, goes right, goes left, goes back right, and then backdoors a pass. Like, I'm like, oh my God, why didn't you shoot? I'm like, that's just, why is this possible?
Yeah, and that's one thing I failed to mention last week, but it's like they're saving different camera shots as the rounds go on. They're giving us more and more, like, variety of camera shots and angles and all that. And I'm telling you, I'm looking around trying to find these cameras. Because they had one from ice level where they were doing the face-off circle. And I have no idea where this camera is. And it was crystal clear. It wasn't like the grainy, you know, the old goalie cams.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know. I mean, hockey's obviously trying to garner a bigger audience than they have, you know, as you should.
Yeah.
So I guess this is their way of doing it. And, I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, basketball's been pretty stagnant. Football, they're trying with the referee cameras. It's not working because they're so blurry. You know, it's...
Well, yeah, they haven't done a whole lot since the Madden cam, but I don't know what else you do, really.
Exactly. Well, they always try, like, the big overhead shots for football or the kickoff where they're behind the receiver.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, please stop this angle. You can't see anything. Like, you can't see a play develop, but I know you're supposed to – they do it, so you're supposed to be the Madden style, like you said.
Oh, right.
Where you're seeing what he's seeing. Well, I don't want to see that. I want to be like, hey, dummy, you should have gone left. I want to criticize for my TV, you know. I don't want to know how hard it is. But, baseball, man. They've moved the camera to the left or right, I think, in the center field. So that it's even harder to tell what the hell a ball and strike is.
Oh. Well, that's why we need robo-umps.
I mean,
I can't believe, I was listening to a podcast today and they're like, oh, umpires still get calls right 97% of the time. And I'm like, are we sure about this?
Yeah, who's the judge of this? Was the head of the umpire group?
I'm sure that it's probably higher than I would have expected it to be, but 97% seemed a little bit of a stretch.
Well, you can challenge balls and strikes now. So maybe that's where they're getting it from?
No, this was like, because this was about the robo-umps being used. Oh. And I always hate the, I like when people fuck up. It makes the game more interesting. It's just like, yeah, I get it, but everyone sees that it's wrong, so why are we doing it that way?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that argument because it's got the human element, right?
Yeah.
But then I think the stronger argument is we have a way of preventing that. So we should. And then also, with the amount of money people make, players, managers, the organizations, Major League Baseball itself, and then on top of that, all the money in gambling.
Oh.
That it just seems like you should be going for 100% accuracy.
Well, and the people that usually make that argument, they're like, oh, it's so great to have human error. I'm like, there are still humans playing the game. We are going to get human error still. Like, don't you worry about that. An outfielder doesn't get to have a robo outfielder. Like, if he drops a pop fly or whatever, he drops a pop fly. Like, come on, guys. Like, there is going to be human error in this thing still. Like, just because the refs aren't going to be the ones fucking it up.
Yeah. I mean, there's even a statistical category called errors. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I get the argument that you want it to be human. Because oh, then right. the obvious next part is, well, what's next? Robotic players? And I'm like, sure. Oh, eventually, sure. We're going to be long dead. Don't worry about it. So.
Yeah, I mean, as creepy as some of those Boston Dynamics robots are, I'm not feeling a field full of them playing against each other in a sport a la, what, is it Futurama that had that?
That there's robotic sports has been a staple since we were kids.
Well, yeah, I guess so, it was probably in the Jetsons, I would imagine.
Oh, I'm sure of that. And God, I forgot about that. But I mean, remember Robot Jocks? Was it Robot Jocks? Or it was a movie?
No.
Yes, it was.
Oh my gosh!
And it's basically someone controlling a robot, if I remember right. But it's still the same thing. And then they kind of remade it with Hugh Jackman, whatever that damn thing was called.
Oh, the like the Rock'em Sock'em Robot type movie that he did.
Yes, I'm glad you said that. That's what that movie was supposed to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it was Mattel or whoever owns the rights. They were supposed to be a Monopoly game. Like, it was Parker Brothers for that. But there were supposed to be all of these different games that got licensed out. And that Robot Jocks was... Wait, is that what that was? God damn it, I gotta look it up.
Oh, yeah, I definitely don't remember what the original one was. But I know the movie that you're talking about with Hugh Jackman in it.
Yeah, 1989 was the original one.
And oh, then, wow, okay.
Yeah, Stuart Gordon. I don't know who that is. Looks a lot cooler than I remember. Yeah, he's the guy that made Reanimator.
Put it on the list for next week's podcast. Review of Robot Jocks.
Hang on a second. We're going to watch this.
It's on YouTube for free.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, that's how I found The Incredible Melting Man.
Oh, I guess I'm not familiar with that one either.
Oh, you don't know this? Oh, it's on Tubi. Sweet. It's free.
Oh. All right.
But no, so when I was a kid, I don't know, like to this day, I don't know if it was like a friend or if it was like a date that my mom was on. And I somehow got dragged along. And we were going to the drive-in because Smokey and the Bandit was on.
Nice.
Well... Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. And so I was like, yeah, of course I want to go. So I don't know if my babysitter – I'm just thinking about this. Like I've thought about this before. Like, my babysitter must have fallen through.
Oh.
Like I don't even know who this guy was. To this day, I don't know any – and no idea who it was. So anyways.
Yeah, and your mom probably doesn't remember who it was at this point.
You'd be surprised.
Either.
She's like my grandfather. She remembers all these dumb details and stuff. And like major stuff. No, like – okay, but it was a double feature, and the first movie was The Incredible Melting Man. The second movie was Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh, yeah, got to stay for the main event.
Or I had it backwards. Regardless, I fell asleep. I'm a kid. I woke up, and it was the chase scene with like the helicopter, you know, the bandit at the end.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, this is great. Fell back asleep. Missed all of it. I distinctly remember waking up. And if you haven't seen The Incredible Melting Man, it's... What year is this thing? It holds up. It's gross.
Oh. Oh, well, maybe I'll have to give that... Well, I doubt I'll actually watch it, but...
Yeah, you can watch it on YouTube. That's where I found it.
Can put it on the list.
Yeah. It's funny, it was on Mystery Science Theater 3000. I had no idea.
If it was during the Joel hosting reign, then I probably saw it.
Yeah.
But the mic was a little spotty.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't care for the mic ones too much. Just like fucking nerds. But that's just how it was. But no, it's basically this, there's an astronaut. He's the last survivor. And he comes back and his body just starts melting. Like skin, all that stuff.
Yeah. Oh.
And then, of course, you know, he turns into a monster, starts killing people. But it's gross. Like we watched it a few years ago, and I'm like, I don't, no shit, I was scared of this movie. Like, oh my god.
I just I always remember what was it when they were pushing the 3D back in the day, because we really Midge and Ron did not allow a whole lot of horror movies, but I feel like it was Creature from the Black Lagoon
Yes.
was the old 3D one that we got to watch at home. And trying to think of the other scary one, I feel like, because it wasn't Jaws, but.
Yeah, well, there was a Jaws 3D, yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely not meaning Jaws 3D.
Friday 13th, part 3 was 3D.
Oh,
That's got some hilariously fun kills on that.
Oh, man. I definitely haven't seen that one in quite some time.
No, I so around Halloween, Amazon Prime had all of the Friday the 13th movies, digital, of course,
Oh, yeah.
for $10 to buy.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, purchase. Yeah, of course you're gonna buy these. And they're all like the R-rated. They're not edited or any of that stuff. So, which I know it's kind of stupid, but it's important. Like, I want to see the actual movie. So.
Oh, yeah. That's why it's at least it's still a little bit of a bummer that the Star Wars versions that we watched as children are not in circulation anywhere. I think
That's why I never got rid of those VHSs, even though I don't have a VCR or the DVDs of them.
yeah, I have the VHS of them myself, so.
Yeah, it's funny. A New Hope was on Star Wars. Now you have to call it A New Hope, but that not I'm sorry, Return of the Jedi was on, not that one. And I was watching, going, "Oh, this is cool!" And all of a sudden, it was that second or first song in Jabba's palace, and I just went, "Oh no, oh God!" I hadn't seen it in a while. It's awful. I don't understand how someone didn't just tell George Lucas, this is shit, right? Like he said, he always intended there to be two musical numbers. Why? Did anyone remember the first one? Like the only part about the first musical number was Bosk or no Bausch, whatever, Princess Leia
Oh,
showing up
yeah,
with the dead.
Boosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, anyways, I know it's
Yeah,
like
I
old
honestly
anyways.
like I guess after you said that I'm like, "Oh, I just always remember the cantina music always bounces around in my head."
Yes. Yeah.
That definitely lives rent-free in my head from time to time. Do, 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 do,
It's
do.
funny because it sounds a lot like the Muppet song.
It does sound a lot like the Muppet song.
So I'm always down with that too. Oh, yeah, there's a new movie, a new Muppet movie on HBO. I'm sorry, Disney. I forgot, I gotta watch that.
No.
It's about Dr. Teeth, and Electric Mayhem.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I guess they're the stars. So I'm like, cool. But they introduced a new character. Like, I guess a couple years ago, now there's like a. What was he? Another guitar player or something. And it's like, ew. No, out. Just the regular ones. We don't need you in here. There's five of them as it is. Why do we need or four of them, four or five?
Hey,
Now we don't need another one. Go away.
I keep track of nine people in Slipknot, so I don't know if I can make fun of bands in large numbers.
True. Yeah. But they just seemed unnecessary.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be like them adding a tenth, and it's another guy, but this time he's beating on a tree. You're like, do we really need this?
Yeah, I don't think they really needed a guy banging on a keg, an empty keg,
Yeah, it's funny. I thought the
but
same thing, and now I know why. Clown's like the business guy of the band.
oh yeah.
So it's like, oh, that's why he's in here. Okay. Yeah. A guy beating on the kegs.
Doing all kinds of crazy shit, jumping into the
Yeah.
crowd left and right because
Yeah.
all he does is bang on kegs.
Yeah. Well,
You know, you gotta.
I think he's starting to sing now too, like background vocals at least. I
Oh.
think.
Yeah, I don't really. As much as I still listen to them, I guess I don't really pay attention to the arrangement per se. Or who's doing what.
Oh, I don't know if you guys, do you know Live Nation's doing their $25 sale right now, right?
Live Nation, the concert promoter?
Yeah, $25 flat. No fees, no nothing. So if there's any shows you want to see, go check it.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Well,
they do it every year, so.
When I have free time. Not recording a show, so.
Nah, true. I guess we should probably get into wrestling talk then, huh?
We can.
Well, I mean, I was talking about Disney. Have you heard the rumors of AEW's TV deal?
Oh, well, I don't think there's any... Well, hold on.
Like specifics, I mean.
No, I don't think I've seen the specifics. It kind of drives me bananas that Tony Khan's like, oh, got a big announcement, but I'm going to announce it next week.
Yeah, my big announcement this week is I have a big announcement next week. Listen.
Fuck off,
listen. This is a guy that didn't want to be on TV, right? But yet he has a big announcement all the time. And, you know, Wembley at first was laughable. And now it's like, oh, well, kudos, buddy. Like, all right.
Yeah.
But then, so I guess this TV deal, I'll just fill you in. This is rumored, of course. It's $1 billion, and it's either 4 years or 5 years. So $250 million a year, or 200, okay? Everything is under the Time Warner Discovery banner.
Uh-huh.
So no more YouTube, no more Bleacher Report. Wow. Everything's under that banner. And the one, so like, they're going to make, I don't know if they're making extra programming, but there's going to be a Saturday show. No big surprise.
Yeah, that is supposed to be Collision as far as I have read.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know, why don't we just call it AEW Saturday Night? Why does it have to have a name? You know, AEW Friday Night, which I guess, you know, it's kind of generic, but it's specific too. Like, what does Rampage mean? What does Collision mean? You know, like, I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah, I'm a whatever on nonsense. That one. You know, I guess I don't really care. Like, I'll probably make fun of Collision at some point.
Yeah, when it collides with the bottom of the basement, or the bottom of the ratings. But no, it's...
Well, it kind of goes back to the beginning of the show, honestly. Yes. This is about Saturdays being a dead... Well, it's kind of funny that we're like, oh, yeah, it's great. Like, we're not usually doing anything Saturday night, so these pay-per-views are great on Saturday nights. The wife usually is like, oh, okay, it's a pay-per-view. I understand if you feel like watching that on a Saturday night. A regular show on a Saturday night? Not sure I'm getting the pass on that one.
No, that's a Sunday morning thing, you know. But, since you mentioned pay-per-views...
Or premium live event.
Well, for that, that's supposedly what could happen. They're going to move stuff to Max whenever that changes. HBO Max is going to become Discovery and HBO Max are merging to become Max.
Oh, right.
So, rumor, of course, is that they're going to go to a Peacock model. So there's going to be Discovery, HBO. Cinemax, AEW, and down the line. So you'll have, like, you know, all the videotapes. Probably, I don't know if Ring of Honor is included or not. They are two separate companies, supposedly.
Yeah.
Even though the Ring of Honor champion started Dynamite, AEW Dynamite.
Well, the champion and half of their tag team champions.
Yeah, exactly. So, but there is the possibility they will move their pay-per-views to Max.
I have gotten to the point where I did not hate Bleacher Report, so there's that.
Well, no, I mean for free.
All right. Well, for the monthly fee.
Yeah, which is $10.
Yeah, that would be something that I have... long held out on the HBO Max thing But should AEW's pay-per-views go through that? That's definitely getting plunked down with the quickness.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of good stuff on HBO Max too. So.
Oh yeah, I have not gotten around to the Peacemaker, which I have really wanted to watch at some juncture.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, like I'm not expecting. It doesn't sound like it's anything mind blowing, but it's like it sounded like it was fun enough that I would enjoy it, and that's all that I care about.
Yeah, it's okay. So, old review of Peacemaker. It was a little too much of, oh my god, we get to swear. You know, it is non-stop swearing, and I'm like, people don't talk this way. Like. It just became frustrating. It's just more like I don't want to call the gentleman fake, but I'm at a loss for vocabulary right now. John Cena comes off as this stiff, I don't know. I don't want to. He doesn't come off as genuine. So when he's talking about stuff, you know he's holding back his personality. We saw that on that Total Bella show, or whatever that thing was called. You know that's not how he acted. That was all for cameras.
Uh-oh.
You see him in interviews, and he's always very demure, and you see this. And then you see him on, like, Peacemaker and stuff, and you're like, where is this? Like, he can't be that good of an actor. So it almost seems as if this is his real personality, and this, you know, upright, stiff, boring guy is the act. So, but if you saw Peacemaker, you also saw half of the cast in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So you know.
Well, yeah.
Was excellent, by the way.
Still have not checked that one out, but.
Yeah. Peacemaker's real good.
Don't know if that'll happen this weekend either.
And Guardians was great. Those are my favorite Marvel ones anyways. And it's over. I mean.
Oh, you know, yeah.
And it's a fitting end. And watching the movie, I had questions like, why is this happening? Are they not remember this? Like, what's going on here? And no, it's actually very smart.
Oh.
So like everything I was asking actually got answered.
Cool.
So, yeah. Like, you could tell this was like the swan song, too. So, but back to that. I don't know, man. That's impressive. If it is true, they're getting $1 billion over the next 4 or 5 years.
Oh.
AEW's set.
Yeah. I
guaranteed another 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I don't want to say that, it's too big to fail at that point, but I mean, that's at least another 5 years, you know? Like, they've been around three, and I guess I always forget how long WCW was actually around.
Yeah, not that long.
Because, like, I'm always shocked when it's like, oh, it was only like 8 years or something. I'm like, what the fuck?
Last that was Nitro. WCW was around a little bit longer than that.
Yeah, it's looking like 88 to 2017 seems. Because Subsidiary to 2017. 2001 to present. I guess 2001. 88 to 2001 then?
That sounds about right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that was like bottom, top, down. Like, I don't know. That's like being shot out of a cannon, and it's got to come down somewhere. That's WCW.
Yeah, that is kind of wild that it was really only 13 years. That that there was at least some type of competition. Because I want to say that, it probably would have been around 90 or 91, like, just because they had more shows on TBS at that point. Because the Saturday Night Show was TBS, wasn't it?
Yes.
So, that's, yeah, right. I remember when we finally did get cable, that I started watching WCW. So it would have been like 88, 89 or 90, something in that area.
An old person sentence, by the way.
Oh, no shit.
You know? Oh. When we finally got cable, everyone's like, "What do you? It just comes with the house."
Oh my gosh. Some of the designers in my office, I'm just like, oh, someone made a reference this week about taking a punch test, like one where you filled out like the dots on a tabulation sheet. And I'm like, there is no way any of the young kids know what the hell you're talking about right now. Just not a chance in hell.
Hey, but those are our ballot machines still. Think about it.
Not ours. So.
Yeah, I think ours finally went to electronic too. That makes it easier to fix elections, Kevin.
So. Oh, Jesus Christ!
Like, are there people? Like, do you remember the hang? God, we're off on all different tangents today, but remember the hanging chads?
Oh yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was not that long ago.
So like everyone keeps talking about how bad or how dumb people are now. And I'm like, it's true, but we really got started about the 2000s. So
oh.
I mean,
yeah,
I'll never forget pictures of people looking at those pieces of paper going, did it punch all the way through? Like, oh my fucking God. Oh my God. Die. Just die.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, if you do actually pay attention to history, it is littered with idiots.
Yes.
So, yep.
The fact we're here is amazing.
Yeah, it's a human condition, and you know what? I'm just going to take my life mostly as a win here and just move along to whatever happens after I die, and things will be just fine.
Yeah, I don't give a damn what happens after I'm gone. Leave it better than you found it. Nah, I'm good. Not my problem. So, but anyways, but a TV deal like that, though, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, pretty sweet. I hope it's true, too.
Yeah. So. Like I think that even though, especially last week, even though we criticized them a lot, I think we did kind of mention how we want AEW to hang around like a real legitimate competitor to. And I mean, will they ever really be as big as the WWE? Like, it still feels like, yeah, they just have too much of a head start.
Yeah. I mean, this is not a knock at AEW because like we just got done saying it's impressive with Wembley. For a 4-year-old company, 3-year-old. Something like that?
Yeah.
To play Wembley already. Well, WWE just sold out Ford Field already for SummerSlam with nothing being mentioned. They're already planning more stadiums. So it's like, yes, it is impressive. There's no way you can't take that away from them. But WWE just goes, stadium show, sells out. You're like,
oh, and how many. And whether you like that they go there or not, that Saudi stadium is huge.
Yeah. Like, they're probably all held at gunpoint to go, but.
Yeah. Yep.
It's sold out.
It's sold out.
It doesn't matter how the tickets are purchased and used, they're purchased. So. Does Saudi have a reputation for that? It just seemed like the right thing to say.
You know, hey, everyone gets the stretch of the truth, right?
Yeah, but that's in what, 2 weeks?
Their pay-per-views are a little squashed together.
I've got to figure that Puerto Rico's got a soccer stadium, right?
Yeah, that was something.
So
Chris and I talked about, like, we're just sitting there going, they're regretting not booking a bigger venue for Backlash, right?
I don't think they knew what to expect, and they should have. What else can be said? That was such an incredible, and I thought the cheers were fake at first. I'm like, man, they are pumping this stuff in.
Oh,
like, God damn it. Just have some natural stuff. I'm like, wait, are they cheering for Io Sky?
Oh.
And it came, I was like, wait, what? And then it just kept getting better and better. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, the WWE, not that I worry about it as much in the mostly Triple H era with Vince creep still.
Yeah, diminishing Triple H era. So.
You know, no one was putting in the sweetener for Io Sky. You know, like you said, like that was definitely an indication. If you did think that it was sweetener, I think that threw it square out the window.
Yeah, because there were accusations about Friday, you know, with Bad Bunny and people just like audio sweetening it and this and that. So I'm like, I don't really think so.
Oh,
I just don't think we're used to these jack crowds for a Friday show. And Saturday just put it to bed. And man,
yeah,
there's nothing more exciting than a audience that is just into everything. So even the Cardiff show, Royal Rumble was a good example too. Everyone was jacked for that.
How often have we mentioned it that sometimes even with AEW we're like, man, that crowd, it doesn't matter what's going on.
Last night was a good example of that.
They're hot, you know? Like, yeah. Again, as much as I might make fun of the booking, that crowd is into it. Period, end of sentence. Like, yeah, they are more than happy to be there.
Yeah, so there was, like, I was a little tired last night, so I dozed off for some of Dynamite, and they came back. And, you know, they were into Orange Cassidy, which they should have been. The guy just keeps. I don't like. It's to the point where I'm like, I really don't want him to lose. This is really fun. Because as soon as someone loses a championship, they're gone. Like that push is totally disappears. So like, who did he have last? Who did? Oh, Daniel Garcia.
Yeah.
Now that's it. Did you see what I'm talking about with him though? He's just plain. There's something missing with him. Yes, he's good in the ring. His promos are fine, but there is a presentation issue with him. For me, at least. And he's no bigger than Orange. But Orange just looks like a real star, where he's just not. I don't know.
Something
about him.
It's definitely been his booking has not helped him out at all.
Yeah.
You know, like I still don't think that. Yeah, he doesn't seem to have that. I guess his promos are fine, but they're not great. I like his wrestling, but again, like, it's not anything that I'm like, oh, yeah, I really need to see this, you know? Like,
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, he's just okay to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not like I hate it. It's just like, it's just something bland. And sometimes I'm not sure how you fix.
He just doesn't have a look.
Right.
He's a small, bald dude.
And, like, the flexing shit, I'm like, don't emphasize how small you are. And I know it's supposed to be, like, cocky, like, dickhead sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
But don't flex like that. It doesn't do him any good. Like, because he's not ripped. Or toned. So to me, he just kind of looks like a regular dude who can wrestle really well. But he's supposed to be doing, what is it, sports entertainer stuff.
Oh.
And it's like, you're not, like.
He has not changed his style to sports entertain.
No.
Like, you should not be wrestling a mat wrestler's technician match. If you're supposed to be a sports entertainer, like you, not to say that you should do the actual people's elbow, but, you know, you should be a little more in that category of, you know, trying to be a little more entertaining.
Yeah, yes. And like, isn't that like kind of the gimmick? Is he's in the sports entertainment part, but he's still struggling with it. And that's why like Sammy bought him leather pants and all that stuff. But
if that's what they were trying to do, I would be surprised, I guess. Like that's one where it has not come across to me that way on TV.
Yeah. But I mean, but the match is good. And
yeah,
it ended correctly. And like I actually honestly thought Orange was going to have to tap when he was doing the stomp on his hand thing, because they've been playing that up for weeks now, and I'm like, oh, here we go, here's the holy shit, it's 2-0 already. Wow,
same thought.
But I figured this was like the week that, you know, that's it, right?
Oh yeah, and I mean, they keep on playing it up that it's going to be that week. I was just like, do not have it be Daniel. Like, that was actually one where I'm like actively like, it cannot be this guy. If it would have been, I'm trying to remember who Orange wrestled last week. Bandido.
It was on Rampage.
Oh,
so.
Okay. It was Bandido on Rampage then.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. That was on Dynamite.
Okay.
It was week before it was on Rampage. So, yeah.
I would have been like, if Bandido would have won, cool. Yeah, Daniel Garcia, I'm just sitting there actively going, please, dear God, don't be the one that breaks Orange Cassidy's streak.
Yeah, but I did like when they went back to the back and they had the interview with him afterwards with Best Friends. And, of course, Chuck messes up that he doesn't want Julia Hart there, even though she's not going to be out there. They're like, you have anything to say? He goes, I'm tired. I'm just tired. And I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, obviously tired from the match, but I'm like a little subtle, like, yeah, I'm starting to slow down with all these title defenses. So I thought that was clever.
I got a real hoot out of that. And Renee just kind of like, yeah, I can understand. Cut.
Yeah. And then he got attacked, and I was like, oh, who's this? And it was Kyle Fletcher. And the crowd popped for that. And I was like, really?
Oh.
Like, a guy that doesn't work for the company?
Like, could not have picked him out of a lineup. I'm glad that there are announcers.
I knew who it was. I was like, the guy from Aussie Open? And then they said his name. I was like, yeah, that guy. So, I mean, it's not bashing them, but they don't work there.
Oh.
So let's give people who work there a shot. Jesus Christ. You're going to split everything into two shows, supposedly. Or you're adding another show. Stop bringing in people that don't work there.
I mean, I did kind of get a hoot out of the storyline that did not become a storyline with both, I was about ready to call him Rusev, Miro and
Thunder Rosa
coming back. And we're like, hey, we're going into Tony Khan's office. And then they just vaporized into thin air. Like, yeah. Everything else they've been doing for the past. Well, at least Thunder Rosa, we knew that she was injured, so, I mean.
Yeah, I actually didn't mind that. They like playing with reality and, like, social media and that. And they know people are like, where the hell is Miro? Where is Miro already? So now it's like, all right, we're giving you a little bit of a hint. He may be back to keep your interest or, like, pique your interest. Like, it's like, oh, wait a minute. So I didn't mind that, but I know what you mean. Like, why did Renee not just stay and like wait for him to get out? or something like that.
Yeah, or the fact that, yeah, they just didn't catch him. Like, am I supposed – like, Tony Khan had an announcement. We know they weren't in there the whole time unless Tony is like, no, just stay in my suite the rest of the show.
True.
I mean, not that I feel like I need a definitive answer to occur on the show. It feels like there should be some level of follow-up to me when a guy that has literally been missing for a year pops back up.
Yeah. Now, the argument for that could be, well, it's got you wanting to see what happens next. Like, wait, why is he there?
I guess. What happened?
So, you know, there's two ways of looking at it, I guess. But yeah, but the show was just a tease, and I guess that'll play into the announcement how there's gonna be another show. So now they can come back. I guess I don't fucking know.
But, yeah,
like the FTR Jeff Jarrett segment was stupid. The funniest thing ever is like, know your audience. They give Jeff Jarrett a cup. Did you see him just throw that thing?
No.
So they offered him a cup. Sanjay gave him a cup. He just goes, just flings it. Like, I can't drink, asshole. So, and then, you know, did all that stuff. And I was like, okay, whatever. I love wrestler reactions to things. So some guy gets near you in between your legs and you just give him a pile driver. You have no idea who it is. You're just giving someone a pile driver. It's like, oh, that's wrestling only logic.
Yeah, I mean, didn't I give you a pile driver sometime when we were drinking?
No, because you couldn't get me up. You're the one that took the pedigree, right? Or is that no? Jason did.
Well, I did it at a friend's house in a mud wrestling match. Yeah. Not a good time for that to occur. I'm just gonna say that was rather painful.
I remember you practicing. You said, "Yeah, you gave Jason also his last name. Gave Jason the pedigree, and he bashed his forehead on the ground." I'm like, "Oh God." And this is the sober run through. Like, what's the worst that could happen? So,
thankfully, nothing worse did happen.
Yeah, I'm glad. I saw those pictures of that stuff too, like actual pictures. So, but yeah. And then I'm starting to think, what else was on this show other than the main event?
Okay, so yeah, we talked about
Claudio.
We talked about the beginning there. Yep, then the tag team stuff, then Orange. Oh, you know, it was kind of interesting, to me. I saw a lot of, Christian love, online after his, promo this week.
Another wrestler with a dead dad. I was like, oh, come on. It's... the sleaziness of it, for sure, is appealing. Like, he's... I remember when Austin called him Creepy Little Bastard? And then he's apparently, like, the dickhead of the, like, Edge and Christian.
Oh, right.
And it's like, you hear the stories, their podcasts, all that stuff, and how Edge talks about him. And then you see him doing this stuff, and it's like, God, you know it's all... cleared. You're not going to just go out there and do that stuff, right?
Oh,
but even then, he does such a convincing job of being slime. Like, I won't talk about your dad because no one cares. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, the level of slime that he's had, I'm just like, I'm still not going to – there were some people ready to pick him over Edge, and I'm like, I'm not going that far. No. But no. The field is far more even or is a lot closer. The gap is a lot smaller. There we go. That's the right one to go with.
Yeah. But I was like, I liked it fine. It's just
my main problem, I'm like – I kind of like Luchasaurus, but also, I that's another one where I just don't feel like they've given me much reason to invest in him as a serious competitor. Like, even though they've given him a great mouthpiece, I'm trying to think, like, who would be the equivalent of, like, handing Paul Heyman having someone in is his... you know, in his stable that's just mediocre.
Yeah. So, Yeah, the Christian stuff, I was like, that's fine. Yeah, I saw the same thing.
Yeah.
People go nuts about it. I'm like, calm down. It was fine. It's concise and good.
Yep. Julia Hart, Anna Jay, no holds barred match.
It was fine.
Yeah.
You know, that's all it was. It was fine.
Yep.
They both still have work to do. They didn't embarrass themselves, and no one got seriously hurt. All right, good. Good job.
Yeah, their women's division, in large pieces, still very, very young. House of Black versus, what do they call themselves?
The House of Black.
The best Banditos friends. Or something like that.
Yeah, Best Amigos.
Best Amigos.
Yes, yes. Which actually is not a bad name.
No, I was like, that's...
name at all, actually.
So, yeah, I was like, I kind of like that. It's kind of catchy.
It'd be, all right, this is kind of stupid, but it'd be funny if there was bad, like, if Bandito breaks off, gets two other Mexican wrestlers, and they become the Best Amigos, and they feud with the Best Friends.
Oh.
I'm actually down for that.
That would be kind of fun. It definitely gives some people something to do.
Yeah. I like Chuck Taylor. Trent's kind of a weird one, but Chuck Taylor always cracks me up. He gets in the ring and he's solid. I don't understand why he's never wrestling. It's always Trent, it's always Orange.
Yeah, I don't know. Got nothing for you on that one. So, but yeah, I mean, that match happened, and what it really was the main event after that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we have not talked about. And, I, as much as I like the, V trigger through the cage,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, awesome visual, definitely pretty dangerous.
Yeah, you think?
I don't
think that was supposed to happen. Like, the leg getting caught, obviously.
Oh.
So he didn't break his leg.
Yeah, that could have gone way more wrong than it really did. I'm not quite sure that it got to, like, I saw a lot of coolest cage spot ever, and I'm like, no? But, of course, I don't really know what else to really put up there either.
You know, I don't know if I'm going to disagree with that, because I'm trying to think, well, okay, coolest cage spot ever is still always going to be Jimmy Snuka.
Oh.
It's always going to be that one, because we never saw it before.
Oh, yeah.
But in a way, though, Omega kicking Moxley through the cage and himself, I don't know. That's pretty baller, man. I mean,
yeah.
I don't like when cage matches fall apart like that, mind you. I think it's stupid, but whatever. But if you're going to do it, go big and go hard, and that's what they did. And I was like, wow. And then Kenny catching his leg like that, like, God, man.
You definitely could have ended up in a very Cash Wheeler that.
Think of that.
Yeah, when he had his arm punctured during the
I was
one
there
match.
For that too. That was awful.
Yeah, so something like that could have easily happened with that fencing, especially since they definitely go with the old school. Yeah, linking fence parts there.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the WWE almost always has like an orthogonal grid now for all of their cages.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a weird sectional one, which I guess, you know, plays into it. The only part I didn't like about it is, I don't know if it was just because he was covering, but like Moxley's getting beat up. He gets kicked through the cage. And he's the first one up.
Oh.
Like, no. And there was a lot of that no-selling stuff going on from Moxley, especially. I mean, he gets put into the glass. he reacts and immediately puts a choke on. And it's like, what? I mean, it's gotta hurt because it looked like it was real. But why should I care if it doesn't actually hurt you?
Yeah, I think you're supposed to think that they're extra tough, but yeah, like, again, like the beatings in wrestling have gotten so extreme. It's just like, well, I don't, like, I kind of feel like you're a superhero at this point, you know? You could get put through a mountain, and I'm like, okay, yeah, like, this is going to be like Dragon Ball Z. You're just going to get up and dust off and keep on fighting here.
Yeah,
and it loses a little bit of
episode fight scenes for Dragon Ball Z. I'll never forget that. I swear to God, I visited. You guys were watching it. I came back 6 months later, and you were still watching the same fight scene. I'm like, listen, this show sucks. No, they're going to go – then why don't you just go Super Saiyan immediately, end the fucking fight, and then we move on. Stupidest shit ever.
Oh, man.
I've seen maybe a handful of episodes, by the way.
I wish I remembered the number, because when Ken and I were doing OPA, we had the moderator for the Dragon Ball Z subreddit. Lives in Columbus, or at least she used to live in Columbus here.
I'm not sure if she
is still doing that now. But I remember going, oh, maybe I should rewatch that. And they have the whole thing stitched together on YouTube. And I'm like, oh my God, I completely forgot how long this lasted.
Yeah.
Because you are not that far off. About you probably wouldn't have come back 6 months later.
Yeah, I know,
but I believe, well, honest to God, I think it's like 2 months long or something like that. Like, I think it was legitimately, what would that have been? Like, I guess for saying 5 days a week.
Yeah.
You know, 4 weeks, 8 weeks. So, yeah, like, what is that, 40 episodes?
I do remember doing a stopover on the way to Michigan.
Oh.
And then coming back. And I remember distinctly leaving you guys watching that show because Kev was with you.
Yeah.
Coming back two, three days later and going, is this still the same fucking scene? You gotta be kidding me.
Yep.
And you know Ken with his voice. Well, what's actually going on here is like, just Ken, just stop. So it's the same goddamn fucking. I don't care what is going on. Like, if there's one thing, Guardians of the Galaxy's got some fight scenes that go a little too long, but it's nothing compared to this.
If you did not just get out of Guardians of the Galaxy, the fight scenes were not quite as long as Dragon Ball Z.
No, so you're in luck. But to go back to the cage match, Moxley did a lot of no-selling, and I just, like...
Oh, yeah.
I'm past barbed wire and glass and stuff. Like...
Oh.
It's just like, whatever.
Yeah. To me, it's almost weird, like, where I'm like, oh, well, he's going to get this out of his system, and it's just like, nope, this is what he wants to really do, and I'm just like... Okay, like I really don't need to see someone as much as I watched Stranglemania back in the day. Like, yeah. I'm out, you know? Like,
it was 2001 or 2000, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, don't really need that anymore. Like, I don't mind an Extreme Rules match, some blood, all that other good stuff, but... You know, yeah, thumbtacks and glass and whatnot. It's just like, okay, you've stepped beyond where I really want to go.
Yeah, and I mean, people like it, great. I'm not saying get rid of it, but I'm just like, it does nothing. And I still don't understand why crowds chant, "We want tables." Like, they were doing that in Anna Jay and, oh my gosh.
Yeah, Julie Hart.
Yeah. And I was like, what?
You mentioned a couple of weeks ago on one of the shows, and it did make me pay more attention. And yeah, people are like whacking each other with canes, and like Jon Moxley is hitting Kenny Omega with a barbed wire chair, but people are going, "We want tables." And it's just like, he's hitting him with a barbed wire chair. Like, why do you want a table right now?
He took the turnbuckle off to strangle him with it. He pulls out glass. He's doing all this stuff. Like, we want tables. Like, for what? Like, and it's a cage match. So, technically, you're not supposed to get out of the cage. But I enjoyed the match. Like, once I got a chance to watch it again, I watched it before we did the show. And I enjoyed it. But as soon as Don Callis came in, I was like, oh, he's turning on him. And of course, they always give it away. He hits Moxie with the one-winged angel. As he's got him up, Excalibur goes, he's going to do it. I was like, well, Don Callis is clearly going to turn on him now. It's like there's no. If you see someone stick inside the ring for any reason, they're going to turn on you. They're going to turn on the other person. So, like, the crowd reaction was incredible for something that was so goddamn obvious.
And it's just people kind of mentioned it. It's a weird spot for Don Callis. Like,
Yes.
he shouldn't really be jumping into bed with the BCC.
It doesn't sound like he is, though. Because even Bryan Danielson on commentary, which
Oh.
I must say this in all seriousness, when they cut away to Bryan Danielson's face, I was like, I think that's the first time they've ever gotten like the cutaway shot correct. That's the only time I believe they've ever gotten it right.
Well, it helps to have someone that is actually stationary and not possibly blocked by another fan.
Well, true. Also, you're not going to a fan, you're going to one of the wrestlers.
Yes.
You
But
can throw the
still,
shot.
great reaction shot. Like you said, like we have definitely done our fair share of complaining about reaction shots.
Yes.
And
So I want to make sure I gave him credit.
yeah, that definitely was up there with good reaction shots.
Yeah, but like Callis turns on him, and I was like, okay, well, let's see where this goes. And then everyone's like raving about it. I was like, it's fine. It's been kind of obvious he was going to do something eventually. I mean, when you start laying it out so thick about how close you are, it's like, oh, okay, here it comes.
Yeah, I will admit, I guess I wasn't sh didn't completely see it coming. But
Oh, the second he was in the ring, I knew. The second he stayed in the ring after taking the screwdriver away, I knew he was doing something.
yeah.
So, just laying there like a slug, and all of a sudden pops up. I'm like, okay, here he goes. So.
yeah, I guess I can. The one argument I definitely saw is if you really want babyface elite, you need to get rid of Don Callis. And I'm like, I guess. I know
Yeah,
that he's
I
only
guess.
played a heel. It feels like you could have him be a bit like he's enough of a minor character that I don't know why that would hold anyone back. And the fact that anyone associated with AEW is worried about heel and or face alignment for these kind of shenanigans when, well, you can skewer someone in the balls and they'll cheer for you. You know, like, really? You think Don Callis needs to be a baby or needs to be gone for them to be baby faces?
Yeah, I'm with
I
it.
no, I just don't agree with that.
Well, they've got that weird. They got that weird thing there, because not Toni Storm. Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker have turned face because of the natural crowd reactions, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that's why they got rid of Rebel, because they're like, well, Rebel can't really be with them with their faces. It's like, you can just turn her along with them.
And no one cares about Rebel's alignment.
Yeah, and now she's just not even on TV. It's like, it's very weird. Like, the superficial choices made like that. Like, all right, now that they're faces, just have her come back and save them, and they have all three of them back together. Like, okay, I mean, it's not a huge deal, but it just kind of shows what they do. So it's like, well, these guys got to be faces. We got to get rid of Don Callis. And it's like, okay. I mean, people were cheering for Don Callis.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, people kind of wanted to see Don Callis get revenge. Honestly, like, he'd done kind of a pretty decent job of selling his injury. If he gets revenge on the Blackpool Combat Club, don't we all go home happy and Don Callis is now a babyface?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was another argument that I'm just like, sorry, guys. Just not. Like, I understand, again, like, he has pretty much only played a heel in his wrestling career. So I understand it, but how many people, like, I feel like there have been enough examples even within recent history that you're just like, oh, this guy can't do this. And then it's just like, oh, they're great. Like, Sami Zayn, oh, how can we turn him heel? Like, I can't believe that they're going to turn the ultimate babyface into heel. And then he absolutely crushes being a heel. Just like, not that I... Don Callis is never going to be that involved, I don't think. But he can, you know, I'm sure he can get by with a babyface promo.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, also trying to streamline things. And if that's the case, let's get rid of Brandon Cutler. Let's get rid of Nakazawa. But, yeah, so, I don't know. It opens up some possibilities. It does open up for Hangman to come back. The rumor of Kota Ibushi possibly going to AEW.
Oh my gosh.
Because they said
there was that psycho afterwards. Setting off fireworks on a car.
Oh, yeah. But it's like,
oh my gosh.
Omega had that video afterwards, which was online. It's like, if I can't trust Don Callis, who can I trust? If I can't trust the Bucks, who can I trust? And it's like, oh, it seems like Kota Ibushi's coming in. But it also can kind of open up the door for Hangman, I guess. Like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they could.
We were a tag team. We won the tag team titles, this and this. So, if that's what they want to do. But I thought the show was fine. A lot of ups and downs, of course.
But
better than last week's, that's for sure.
Yeah. It definitely did not have the lows of last week's show.
Well, I mean, we skipped over the Pillars interviews, which were fine. I thought that was an effective way of trying to show that they're important. This has been a nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, for papering over a terrible build.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many times I've said it. I guess I don't think Darby Allin's a bad promo, but I also like his tape vignettes about 1,000 times better than any of his actual promos. Right.
But how goofy is it? He's wearing half his mask makeup and all that stuff, and he's like, all right, Dad, let's go do some stuff. Like, what? That's like your kid wants to wear their Halloween costume to go to the store, and you're like, just do it. I don't want to argue with you. Let's just go. It was such a weird dynamic. Like, the dad's like kind of looking straight laced, kind of.
Yeah, I would love to him have a Ron moment. It's just like, knock that shit off.
Yeah.
Like, you're with your dad. Come on.
Yeah, but I mean, it is wrestling, so, you know, that's just expected.
Whatever. Just like someone wearing a mask when they're in their own house.
That's very true, yes. There is that absurdity you just have to accept. But I mean, Darby Allin, that's like his gimmick, so, all right. But, yep. Well, yeah, so it was fine. I thought, like I said, better than last week. NXT, though, that show seemed off with, like, some fun stuff, but I don't know. The matches, I actually enjoyed Trick and Braun far more than I thought I would.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Trick Williams has certainly, the guy's been able to talk, but they haven't really put him in the ring. And you can tell that he has been on the old proverbial WWE diet
Oh,
recently,
yeah.
because that man has gotten ripped
Yeah.
in the last couple of months.
Was his last match when he was doing that boxing stuff?
Probably.
That's the last. I don't. Who the hell was that
He
against
might have been
Wesley,
in a
right?
tag team match with Carmelo sometime in between.
Okay.
But as far as the singles match go, that's on the list of like last ones that I remember.
Okay. Yeah, no, I was like, this is far better than it has any right to be. Just because you don't see Trick Williams wrestle. So I was like, well,
Oh.
hopefully he's okay. He was more than okay.
Yeah.
I like the fact that it started off with him just going right at Braun. You know, like, all right, he's mad about this, so he shouldn't be in there going, I'm gonna kill you and all this. Then, no, he goes right after him. Like, nice.
Yeah.
And he told what was it, the timekeeper, get your ass out of the way. That
Yeah.
cracked me up. And then Braun, that weird suplex hip t or backdrop thing on the table. But
Oh.
yeah, Braun, all right, listen, this is what Braun should have been the entire time. And he's going to turn face doing this. People are going to cheer him being this aggressive and this
Oh.
nasty in the ring. It's only a matter of time.
Yes.
So
Like, I'm just like, oh my gosh, this guy really fits this bill well.
yeah, I mean, he's got the face for a heel. I mean, his dad is Rick Steiner, his uncle is Scott Steiner, and like a family friend is Bill Goldberg. So you've got some like legitimate badass guys like backing you up, and I mean, he took Goldberg's jackhammer for Christ's sake. So it's like, all right, he's clearly getting advice or help or permission or whatever you want to say from those three. And it
Oh.
just naturally lended itself to a heel. And it's a blossom. And I guess that's why he didn't get drafted.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that it feels like they took a lot of the people that had more time down there or more time overseas, 'cause I guess Pretty Deadly really wasn't around in NXT proper for that long. I feel like they were around UK for quite a while though. And 'cause what? Indy Hartwell has kind of been around for a while at this point too. Zoe Stark's on that list of having been around for a bit of time now. You know, if they would have had her win a championship at some point, all that. Because I'm trying to think of who the other. Well, yeah, whatever. Apollo Crews has just bounced around, so there's that.
Honest Jones. That's a
Oh.
weird one.
Yeah, he was a weird one. Grayson Waller wasn't really a surprise.
Yeah, that one
Again, he
was.
was another one where after he doesn't win the championship within his like second and or third, I can't remember. Well, yeah, because what he had two cracks against Braun, and then one against Carmelo, and it's just like okay, like if you're not giving it to him, then he's got to be out of dodge here.
So that match surprised me, and it also makes me worried for Melo, because with Voldemort, or we need to come up with a nickname for McMahon, with that goofy hair and mustache, but like, was it Snivius Smiley or something from the Laugh Olympics, which is very dated, but
Oh my gosh, the Laugh
you know what I'm talking
Olympics.
about?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So he's gonna see Trick and go, why do I want the short black guy when I can have the tall black guy? You know what I mean? It's Vince. That's gonna be his thinking. Like, oh, they can both talk, they both wrestle well now. I'm gonna take the taller guy.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that ends up developing.
Yeah, and I like the fact they're a team and they support each other. Not, one just being a dick and all this stuff. So it's a lot better. it's more natural, and then yeah, then if it, down the line you can break them off or you know feud whatever. But once the act gets stale, the act is not stale at all. So no, just don't get rid of it. So, but yeah, but like the rest of the show though, Big Body Javi cracks me up. He's the perfect 80s jobber.
Yeah, that man has a permanent job. If he's one of those guys that I'm never expecting him to see a world championship, but if somewhere down the line we're talking about him like R-Truth, would not be shocked.
No, I think that's a great comparison. And I really hope R-Truth is coming back sometime so that those two can, now I'm just off the top of my head, so those two can interact. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're there to wrestle, you're there to make money. Sure, you want to be on the top, but if you can be this goofy guy, getting involved with everybody, it raises your presence, and you make more money off of it. It's like, that's awesome. Save the bumps, you know?
Yep.
So yeah, but that he cracks me up. Duke Hudson winning, that cracked me up. And I'm very surprised you didn't see the old dude in the crowd. He was living it up. His grandson or son, whoever he was with, was like cheering. And he's like sitting there going, oh okay. And then when Duke won, he hopped up and was like, yeah! Like, you know, using all his energy.
Was he with the Chase U?
Yes, he was in the student section.
Okay, well, I only saw like the two. There were like four guys up at the top, and there's like two bearded dudes or something. Like, I was like, I'll cut. Well, it does not help to try to watch and do work at the same time. So that might have been why I might have missed him. But honestly, I actually rewound that part. I'm like, I have to be missing him at this point. Like, Jeremy made this sound really obvious. So
I don't know if it's obvious. You know how I can like latch on to something too. So that's probably it. But yeah, I enjoyed his genuine reaction. Like, it wasn't put on. He was really into it. So you know, but yeah. Like, that was fun. The Andre Chase mystery is proven to be okay. Not Schism. What the hell are they called? When it's the tag
team. Dyad.
Yeah, Dyad losing. I was like, good.
That was one where I'm like, didn't they actually announce on Twitter when their free agency dates would be? Yeah. And I felt like it was shortly, like, it's shortly here, like this coming week, maybe.
Yeah. No, it was in June, I think. June or October. It's a while still.
Oh, for some reason I thought it was May.
No. I mean, if it was May, I'd be like, you idiots don't want to, like, not pay me. So, whatever.
Well, I guess, to me, I guess that was the one reason I thought they lost. I'm like, oh, okay, this is their we're out of the company situation.
Yeah. So... But yeah, like, that was fun. The women's matches were just whatever. And
they just seemed rushed.
True.
You know, I don't... There were actually so many matches in this show that almost all of the matches felt a little rushed to me.
Yeah. And it's like, give them time.
Because, yeah... Not that I expect Duke Hudson versus Javier Bernal to be much, but that's for like I want to kind of run back through the tag team match, the longest at 11 right now that I'm looking at. Tiffany Stratton, Gigi Dolin, 4.5, 11.5, 5-minute match with Eddie Thorpe and Damon Kemp.
Boy, Damon Kemp has fallen off. He's a feature player. That was jobbing out. Like, damn.
Yeah, Dijak and Dragunov only goes 4.5 minutes.
Those four and a half good minutes, though.
Yeah, that was far more enjoyable. Charlie Dempsey, Tyler Bate, 3.5 minutes. Briggs and Jensen versus Waller and Ledger, 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Valkyria versus Kiana James. Let's check in on this one. Oh, almost 9 minutes. That was one of the longer matches. And then Braun versus Trick, 6.5. Like, for a 2-hour show, that just, yeah. That, to me, that's what makes it feel rushed when you have that many. Because what is this, match number 9? Yeah, they actually have them listed by number. Match number 9 of the night. Like, that... That's a lot for a non-pay-per-view show.
Yeah. Yeah, 9,000.
Nine matches. Like, wow.
9,000. I meant 9 matches. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
But, so,
but then they're adding in backstage stuff. They're doing all this stuff. It's like, that show's so packed.
Oh.
Like, it's okay. Like, especially if you're having a women's tournament, minimize it. Let the women work. And if they're not good workers, then don't have a damn tournament. Like, anyways.
Yeah, well, and that was one that even looking, I guess, Valkyria did at least have a little bit of a bounce back week after last week's disaster.
Yeah. Well,
That was the one, though, that I texted you about. I'm like, when Booker T talks about Kiana James being a hottie biscotti and how anything she says you should just do, I'm like, is this how you got Charmel? Like, you just do whatever she wants? Like, you never... okay, well, great insight there, Booker. I know how your relationship works now.
Yeah. Where was this advice so long ago?
Oh man, but I did think it was a little bit weird how much he was talking about how hot Kiana James was. I'm like, this is kind of getting awkward, dude.
Yeah.
It's one thing to compliment someone for being attractive. It was another when you mention it multiple times during a match. I was like, okay, dude, third time's a little creepy here.
Yeah.
Can we please stop? And then poor Vic's got to cover, like, you are just talking nonsense again this week, Booker.
Yep. Vic's not having any of it. No, I don't want to hear this.
Oh, man, Vic has the most difficult announcing job in the WWE.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But no, like, I can't remember. Oh, I think the problem I'm having with this NXT version is no one's going anywhere. And, like, Tyler Bate should not be losing.
That.
Is he supposed to be a featured guy? No. Unless there's, like, some heinous outside interference, the answer is no. Like.
Yeah, that one was kind of wild. I'm like, I guess I saw it coming, but I'm also like, wow, this is where we're at with Tyler Bate, huh?
Yeah. And he was supposed to go to the main roster, supposedly. And this is how he's being treated. Like, Dragunov, at least, Dijak was just an asshole. So, you know, that stuff, that was fun. Those two beat the hell out of each other. I'm like, cool, can we do this again? Without the goofy stuff to end it?
Yeah, that was like, why did we book this way? How are we going to get out of this? Oh, we'll have a DQ so that we can have a match at a premium live event.
Yeah, and I'm all for it. I'll watch those two again. Dijak, I think, is incredibly underrated. Dragunov's just not known enough. He's not well known. And I think once the ball gets rolling on him, that he'll take off.
Yeah,
Shawn Michaels loves him.
While Dijak's character is still a little bit weird, I do think that it's kind of coming around and he's getting to establish a personality in the WWE for quite possibly the first time that he, you know, in his, I mean, what, he's probably been there 4 or 5 years at this point. So it's probably longer than I think. Because yeah, I'm having to look it up because oh my gosh, she's 36 already. So oh man, NXT 2017 first run. So
Okay.
yeah, he's been there 6 years. Like I can't believe it's been quite that long. Remember his ROH years. So this is something.
I mean, this is not NXT related, but speaking of Ring of Honor, like the first time I was introduced to Damian Priest was when he was Punishment Martinez, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever see old pictures of Damian Priest? He is,
Before.
it's like a Walter transformation. Or Gunther.
Oh, before.
Yes.
Before Punishment Martina era.
Yeah, and it goes through all the eras, and then all of a sudden it's like you see the beginning to now, and it is incredible.
No, I have not seen any pictures of pre-Punishment because to me he looks pretty similar now. Like, not he's definitely again like WWE shape. I'm just gonna like just throw that one out there. Like, I got it, but I did always think that he was in pretty good shape for an ROH guy.
You won't believe it's the same person. It's that drastic.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy. And it's crazy seeing like Walter, like the original Walter when he was like real fat, or real puffy, whatever you want to say it, to this monster he's turned into now.
Happy wife, happy life. Am I right?
Ugh, I guess so. Yeah, I think it benefits him because I think he looks like the Gunther version looks far more dangerous as this version because it's almost unassuming to where when you're a little bit bigger, you're like, oh, he's gonna hit hard. Well, he's a big dude. We saw that with him and Broxton toe to toe. But he doesn't like he's just got like, that little boyish cherubish face.
He does look pretty young.
Yeah, and then he just beats the hell out of you. It's like, this isn't supposed to be happening. So,
Oh, right.
yeah, but that punishment, well, it wasn't even punishment. It was before, long before that.
Yeah.
It is crazy. So, and that dude, I remember when he came up, I was complaining, like, just not, I don't know, he's not doing it for me, not this. The Judgment Day has been the best thing to happen to all four of them. It has brought out personality. It has brought out ring work. It's brought out everything for them.
And it's been kind of weird because I don't feel like it was that long ago that I was complaining about the group. Like
It's fair. Yeah.
I feel like I could probably go back into the archives by 2 months max of me going, what the, like Rhea Ripley is the only one who looks good in this group. And somehow Finn Balor has put himself in a fairly decent position. And Damian Priest has, and Dom has become a heat magnet.
Yeah. And he's gotten better in the ring as well. He's still not great, but he's
Oh,
gotten better.
yeah.
But I mean, that's just confidence. And then especially surrounding yourself with people who know their way around the ring with different styles, that's gotta help.
Yeah, he has definitely had just a crazy amount of good partners to work with in the ring.
Yeah, his dad.
Well, but even ignoring kind of the original feuds with Seth Rollins and I'm trying to think of who the other original one was. He kind of had some people carry him through matches. He had kind of a bad period, and I think he's back on the upswing
No, I
as
mean,
far as in-ring quality goes.
turning heel always does it for people.
Yep.
It's that weird thing where you're allowed to just be different and you can take chances. So if someone doesn't like it, they'll boo you. where you're baby face, you take chances, they boo you, you're like, oh crap, I'm not doing my job. So, but yeah. But yeah, the Raw was fine, whatever. You know,
like, oh,
the well. Tournament's fine, don't care. But NXT, I'm trying to think what else was on this show.
I gave you all the matches, but
that's how much they didn't stick, you know?
Well, and I'm trying to, because the only thing that we didn't talk about that as far as the segments stood out to me was, who is that? The family coming in to talk to Gallus at the bar. Like, that's the only segment that stood out to me.
I liked it. I liked that because he came as one of the shot. I'm like, they already established. All you have to do is ask. So Tony D's like, yeah, we want next shot those titles. And Joe Coffey just goes, not anymore. I'm here now. We're not doing that anymore. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. That's better. So because Joe is the leader of the group.
Oh.
He's the older one. You know, actually Wolfgang's older than he is, but, you know, it's still like he's the leader of the little gang. And
right.
I did like that they were surrounded by, oh, wow. I do like that they were surrounded by, like, other, their, like, you know, pub mates.
Oh.
So Tony D's kind of like, okay. So this is like what he usually would do.
Yeah, Stax just goes, hey, Don.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here while we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
I did enjoy that though. I like Joe Coffey, anyways.
Uh-oh.
So, not exactly the most exciting, mind you, but he looks legitimate.
That's one of the few cases where I'm like, yeah, I kind of get the brawler gimmick without being completely svelte and cut up.
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh well. No, we already talked about that tag match. I forgot. Just again, how lazy, awful Schism is. So stupid masks. What did Joe Gacy get into? That he was doing it for himself or something this week.
Well, I was gonna mention something else, but who did Joe Gacy end up? Confronted? Did he?
I can't remember.
Yeah, because the one that I saw as I was scrolling through this review was I was like, oh, Nathan Frazier doing his rundown. I'm like, this is kind of funny.
Yeah, it's giving him a personality, which is good.
Oh yeah, I couldn't tell. Yeah. I honestly am not sure I could tell the difference between him and Axiom. I understand
well,
that.
Mask at least,
yeah, so. I understand that one has the mask, but their personalities are like,
oh yeah,
identical to me.
Yeah, and it's funny. No Axiom, no Reggie, no Scripps this week. They were like, all right, that boondoggle is over. So yeah, you guys get a week off.
Oh man, that not
yeah, but
good.
Like two like weird weeks in a row for NXT. So.
Yeah, again, I think that we might need to get used to this when they start refreshing NXT. Yeah, and I'm trying to find that other segment that you're talking about, and I am not having any luck here.
Yeah.
About what? Because he didn't come out during the tag team match.
But he was involved. He said he was staying in back for a reason. And then did he come out anyways?
No, he did not come out for that match. I'm trying to that's why I was like, I know that he came out for a match at some point. But that's why I was trying to figure out. It wasn't the Dragunov match. Oh, that's right. He did come out during the Charlie Dempsey Tyler Bate match.
Yes, that's right. Forgot about that.
Okay,
he showed up for some reason.
That was his big thing.
Yeah, but I do like how he's like he's doing like a David Koresh thing now with the sunglasses. I mean, it's not like, you know, Koresh didn't have those exact ones, but so.
Yeah. Well, you ready to punch out of this one? I mean, I think we've gotten to good territory here. Like, you mentioned Raw, and I'm like, man, we've gone long enough. We don't really
talk about Raw.
We don't even really need to cover that at all this week. Nope. Sometimes we need it for filler. But when you do, like, 30 minutes on watching Johnny Dangerously and
Incredible Melting Man.
The Incredible Melting Man, you know, it kind of... Kind of helps pad the pod, helps
Robot
pad
jock.
Stunt Granny Audio 851. Do you have a Bell Time beer on your within your hand?
No, this I would
week?
Have passed out during the show if I had one beer right now. I decided to ride 15 miles on my bike after work, so yeah.
Marginally shocked. I'm still awake, honestly, but I don't sleep, so you know these things help. But after 5.5 last night, actually a little bit shocked that I'm still awake currently.
That's all I ever get.
So. But I think this was the oldest beer that I had in the fridge. Wolf's Ridge Brewing Office Party Imperial Pastry Stout. It is a Christmas-style beer. Orange peel, vanilla, lactose, cacao, and more cacao from Ghana and from the Dominican Republic. So, yeah, quite tasty. I don't know why I was holding on to it. Well, I think I was going to give it to someone at some point, and then I decided to drink it, obviously. So.
Well, I have the best intentions of mine.
I feel like it was one of my coworkers that I was working closely with and am not anymore. So, you know. It didn't seem like the right thing to do, I suppose. But hey, I know that he likes stout, so should he resume, maybe I'll snag him a new one. Or an office party when it comes around in December, I would assume. So Wolf's Ridge, quite a large distribution area. If you happen to be able to get a hold of them, highly, highly suggested, one of the best breweries here. In Columbus. So, that is the Bell Time beer from Matt DeFrango 11. He is at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.